I was reading a book by Mark Sayers a couple of weeks ago called Disappearing Church. In it, this pastor and social theologian made an interesting point. Despite our advances in technology, our ability to travel the world in moments instead of months, and the unheard of autonomy and individuality that modern life has afforded us, we're more fragile than ever before. His direct quote was this: "Our anxiety provides a constant soundtrack to our inner world." Doesn't that describe life right now? We are a people who, at least up until recently, have had more freedom than perhaps any generation has had. And yet, we're a people ready to break. If you would have told me just 2 months ago that we would be looking at weeks for months of social isolation, economic freefall, people losing their jobs left and right, and the complete shutdown of all major sporting events, concerts, and any other public gathering, I would have told you that you're crazy. And yet the fragility of our human experience has been revealed. For many of us, anxiety, worry, and fear have become the soundtrack of our lives as we wonder what's next. But I promise you there is hope. Easter is the great reminder of hope. You see, Easter points us back to the reason that we can have hope at all. And this particular Easter, we need it more than we ever thought we would. So where do we find this hope? I've been thinking, as this worldwide pandemic has unfolded, about how for perhaps the first time in our lifetimes, we can actually feel the drama of that first Easter. Right now, as we experience a world that seems to be changing hour by hour, we can enter the emotional turmoil that the followers of the way were going through that first Holy Week. In this moment, we resonate with Jesus' followers. Because 2,000 years ago or so, last Sunday, Jesus was riding into town on a donkey. Now that might not sound like much of an entrance, but as Pastor Ron reminded us last week, this was the fulfillment of prophecy. As Jesus came riding into town, the Jews were seeing what they and their ancestors had put their hope in for thousands of years. They were seeing Messiah. And their hopes and dreams were riding into town on his shoulders. This was an oppressed people, but the Messiah was the one who had set everything right. The Messiah was the one who would overthrow their oppressors. He would lead Israel into a new golden age where peace and prosperity ruled. As Jesus rode into town on that donkey, the crowd laid palm branches down before him. This was a witness that they were hailing Jesus as Messiah. They were proclaiming that they were seeing what their ancestors had prayed for and longed for. The long prophesied king was here. From somewhere deep down inside their bowels, because this is where Jews believed that emotions came from, rose up a song: "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!" Cheers of excitement racked their body, and their knees became weak, but their arms were flying in the air. The king is here. Messiah is finally here. But on Friday, a sign above Jesus' head told them that this is the king of the Jews. He was hanging lifeless on a Roman cross. Like so many would-be messiahs that came before him, Jesus was dead. Cross, one of the most horrific torture devices ever invented, was the place that failed insurrectionists ended up. Just days before, the followers of Jesus banded together in greater crowds than perhaps ever, but suddenly they hid. Because when the leader of an insurrection was killed, it wasn't uncommon for his followers to be tracked down and dealt with as well. So now the church was afraid. They divided. They hid in their homes. Suddenly, their hope for tomorrow was violently ripped from them. Everything they had placed their belief in was fallen, alone in their homes, without much hope for tomorrow. Uncertainty coursed through their bodies in waves that were powerful enough to leave them lying on the ground. This isn't how it was supposed to go. Now, this Easter, we're sheltered in our homes, but we're afraid for our safety, and we're uncertain about what will happen next. For many, everything that we placed our hopes and dreams in are crumbling to the ground. Family, for the first time in our lives, we understand Easter more now than we ever have before. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light failed. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Saying this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, "This man really was righteous." All the crowds that had gathered for the spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, went home, striking their chests. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Do you feel what the disciples felt watching all of this from a distance? The first time in a long time, you don't just hear these words. You can feel them deep down in your bones. 2 months ago, we were preparing for March Madness. Now there's no sports at all. 2 months ago, we were meeting with our financial planners to evaluate just how much retirement we'd accumulated. Now our nest eggs have cracked. 2 months ago, we were preparing for the greatest quarter our businesses had ever seen. Now our production lines are shut down, with no known timeline for when we'll get to switch them on again. 2 months ago, we enjoyed the highest level of freedom that the human race has ever known. For a small fee, we could travel the world. We could take vacation and go to the ocean or the mountains or a cabin in the woods. Now we're at home, self-isolating, afraid to leave our 1,000 square feet of sanctuary. Just like those people 2,000 years ago, the things that we placed our hope in are now in the tomb. Take this in for a moment. Feel the depth of your feelings. I don't know about you, but for the first time in my life, I feel what Friday and Saturday must have felt like. But Friday wasn't the end of the story. And this pandemic isn't the end of our story. Recession isn't the end of our story. Depression doesn't have to be the end of your story. So many of us have placed our hopes in things that fail us, but the real source of our hope has risen from out of the grave. Anxiety, worry, doubt, sin, shame, rejection, those are Friday feelings. On Friday, they hung on that cross. But on Sunday, something happened on Sunday. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, 2 men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, to be crucified and rise on the third day?'" And they remembered his words. returning from the tomb. They reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. He went away, amazed at what had happened. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? That's the question we need to ask ourselves this Easter. So many of us have been placing our hope in things that we now see crumbling around us. This Easter, we have the opportunity to place our hope in the one who conquered the grave. Just as those disciples marveled at the empty tomb, we have an opportunity today to uncover a hope that can't be destroyed by any pandemic. Someday, hopefully soon, this global situation will all be over. After weeks, maybe even months, of isolating ourselves in our homes, eating dozens of frozen pizzas, and coming up with creative solutions to the great toilet paper massacre of 2020, Sunday will come. In that moment, we'll be able to return to the gym to work off the quarantine 15. In that moment, movie theaters will open again. Concerts will come back to our stages. Sporting events will return to our arenas. In that moment, we'll go from refusing to give handshakes to being unable to control ourselves from hugging strangers. Someday in the near future, we'll be able to return to our places of gathering and, well, we'll throw all the birthday parties that we missed sharing with friends and family and loved ones. We will have the greatest 4th of Cinco de Easterversary parties ever. Everything will change. That's the story of Easter. That's the hope of resurrection. And Jesus is offering that to you right now. But here's the thing. We can't go back to looking for the living among the dead. When we're on the other side of this, we won't go back to the way things were. This virus has changed our world. Even though things may be similar in many ways, they can't be the same. We'll find a new normal. This Easter, I'm inviting you to begin that new normal. You don't have to wait. As Mark Sayers has said, anxiety provides a soundtrack to our inner worlds. But that was Friday. The way we lived our lives up to this point, for many of us at least, was crippling us. We now see how we are putting our hope in things that simply cannot last and that will not stand. We've been looking for the living among the dead. This Easter, we have a chance to start over. You have a chance to start over. When we started this series, Messiah, we went all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to creation. In the book of Genesis, we see a garden. This garden represents the way things were intended to be. In this garden, we see two people, and these two people have everything they need. They're able to stand naked and unashamed before God. In other words, they don't need to hide. They're truly free. And yet, as we've encountered in the past few weeks, there's a snake in the garden. Scripture doesn't tell us how it got there, just that it is there. And using deceit and lies covered by smooth words, the snake convinces us that God is holding out on us. So we turn away from God. We turn away from the things the way they were meant to be. Genesis 3:8 says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. They hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden." See, Adam and Eve had only ever known a perfect relationship with God. And yet in that moment, they felt shame. Overwhelming shame. Look at what happens. These children of God, who should have known how to turn back to him, suddenly were afraid that he would turn his back on them. So they turn away and hide. The snake of the garden had wrapped itself around their hearts. And yet just 7 verses later, we see the first promise of the Messiah. The promise that the snake would strike the Messiah's heel, but the Messiah would crush the head of the snake. And our hearts still long for the one who will unwrap the snake from our hearts. As Jesus rode in on that donkey, Israel was looking for a Messiah that would conquer Rome. But Jesus came to overcome the snake. 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on a Roman cross. Perhaps you've heard this before, but I want you to hear it through the ears of your present situation. I want you to hear it with all of the anxiety and fear and depression and worry and caged in doubts that are rising up. As Jesus hung on that cross, we're told that he took the sins of the world on him. In fact, Paul says he became sin for us. Everything we've ever done wrong, every failure, every word of anger we've ever yelled or held under our breath, our hatred, our self-loathing, our sexual deviances, every harmful thought we've had against ourselves or others hung on that cross. There's this powerful moment that we often overlook. At one point, Jesus is dying, and he turns to heaven and he quotes the psalmist, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." We're told that this means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In that moment, Jesus turned his eyes towards heaven, but God turned his back. Our holy God couldn't look upon all that sin. Jesus was carrying all of our sin in that moment. Every failure, every scar, every mistake. If Friday were the end of that story, we would have no hope. But on Sunday, the grave was empty. The Messiah rose, and the snake was defeated. Jesus overcame death. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He redeemed our failures. He repaired our relationship with God. Because of this, hope is alive. Hope lives here. Not just some vague idea of hope, but a real hope. A hope that wipes the slate clean. A hope that restores. Now the soundtrack to your inner world can finally be different. It can be filled with love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When this pandemic is over and we've all been released from our homes, we'll feel a temporary joy that we haven't felt for a long time. I warn you, that feeling by itself won't last. As time goes on, we'll return to a world that has found new ways to be broken. But Jesus is offering us something so much more than that. Jesus isn't just offering temporary happiness. He's offering you a new soundtrack, one of victory over the dead things in your life. Jesus is offering us life. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy." That's the work of the snake. That's why temporary happiness never lasts. But Jesus says, "I have come so that you might have life, have it to the fullest." Jesus offers a life that is so much more. That life is the hope that Easter brings. You've heard this before, but I want you to hear it like never before. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God will never turn his back on you. When you turn your eyes to heaven, God doesn't see your sin, your shame, your failure. He sees his child. When God looks at you, He doesn't see all the marks and scars. He sees his beloved. Because of Easter, we have a hope that rises from the grave. I want to invite you to bow before the throne of grace and see the love that God has for you. Maybe you still have questions. That's okay. Doubts? It's all right. God can handle them. As we face uncertain days ahead, I invite you to experience the one who brings a peace that doesn't make sense in the midst of a pandemic. You may still experience shame. Doubt, fear may still grip you. Through Jesus, you no longer have to be defined by them. They are in the grave. You may still battle mental health and depression, but through Jesus, you can have a renewed hope that those dark moments can come into the light and that those voices don't get to define the end of your story. You still may worry about what this season of life looks like for all of us, but I invite you to encounter the one who brings a hope that rises beyond the grave. Here in just a moment, we're going to do something together called communion. If you believe in Jesus, you can join us in this experience. Since we're all virtually together, you'll need to run to your kitchen and grab something that resembles bread and something that resembles juice. Hold those elements. And then after this next song, we're going to take them together to be reminded of the hope that Jesus offers.